Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. Praise the living God for everything is okay. Our God is a great God, and we thank God once again tonight's the night that I am truly grateful to God for the things He has done for me. Amen and amen. So it behooves us to give God the glory and to thank Him for everything He has done. Tonight's the night that we have designated for a young man named Jason. He should be on it very shortly. We'll be looking for him. But one thing that I want to tell you, you're on there, Jason. Good evening.
Good evening, Dr. Hunter. How are you doing this evening?
I'm blessing you.
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Blessed and highly favored. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. It's your program. You can go for it.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I just want to say thank you, Dr. Hunter, for again for having me on, and I just want to praise God for, you know, this is the day that God has given us. And,
yes.
Spirit says we will be glad in it. I hear the Apostle Newsom, I think is his name, that comes on after me. He says that all the time, and I just really was praying and meditating on that. And we just don't realize it's such powerful words that he says that because of the fact that we're so blessed that God comes over us in the morning and He breathes the breath of life on us and gives us another chance. And if we're waking up, again, another day, that also means that God still has a purpose for us. And what a wonderful God that we serve. So I'm so blessed that He always opens that way because it reminds us that, just again, how blessed we really are. So we're not going to take any moment for granted. And so we're going to spend some time fellowshipping in God's Word with the breath that He's given us for this day. So, again, I just want to say thank you and grace and peace to God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ to those who may be listening this evening. And may God may open all our hearts and open our eyes to see and our ears to hear what He has for us, even as He fashions us to be the best, the servants that He has called us to be. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to open with... 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 through 15. And it reads, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears. Amen.
Amen.
And if we know He hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have what we have asked."
Amen.
Very powerful scripture. This is the confidence we know in approaching God. Amen.
So, amen.
This week is week two of a four-part series we started on in effective prayer. And God has led us to center the word He has for us concerning effective prayer around the Lord's Prayer, which Jesus, our Lord and Savior, gave His disciples. And last week, God really blessed us, and we talked about Matthew 6 and 9, and it's basically all about enter His gates with praise and thanksgiving, how we approach God. Okay, we talked about what Jesus is telling us there, that, you know, when we approach God, you know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. We acknowledge God first. So as a mature God, we need to be very conscious as believers in how we approach God, how we approach God. And so that's what we talked about. You know, Psalms 100, verse 4, says, "Enter His gates with thanksgiving in His courts with praise." And so that was our focus area last week how we approach God. This week, we're going to continue in Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to go on into verse 10 and 11 with a focus a little bit more on verse 11. And so, and I'm just going to read, okay, let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, verses 10 through 11. We're just going to keep going through the Lord's Prayer. And verse 10 says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." Verse 11 says, "Give us today our daily bread." We're going to stop right there. Okay, we're going to take it so much. This the Lord's Prayer is so rich with spiritual food. We could be here all day, but we're going to take this in chunks, just like we did last week. And verse 10 says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so God has a will that he has in heaven, and he wants these same things carried out on the earth, and he does that through his church. He does that through his church. In verse 11, it says, "Give us today our daily bread," is what it says. Give us today our daily bread. And that's where we're going to focus there a little bit. Amen. And so, and I hear a lot of static in the background. You hear a lot of, kind of like a static, maybe somebody's phone is probably not on mute. Oh, there we go. Perfect. So anyway, just continue. Verse 11 says, "Give us today our daily bread." And so that's what part two is going to be about. We're going to talk about daily bread again. We're going to be talking about how we can be effective in our prayer and what are some of the reasons as we go through the Lord's Prayer, the instructions God gave us, and it is the outline in how we are fellowshipping with God, how we there may be struggles sometimes. And being effective in our prayer life. So, again, today we're going to focus on in part two, give us today our daily bread, okay? And in that, we're going to talk about a couple of different areas, but we'll get there as we go through. So, Matthew 6 and 11, give us today our daily bread. One of the first questions always came to my mind, as I've read that quite a few times, is, why does Jesus instruct us to ask God, to ask him for daily bread? Why not weekly bread? Why not monthly bread? Heck, why don't we ask for bread for the whole year? Why does he focus only on daily bread? And there's a couple of things I think we need to understand about daily bread. Number one, God is not asking us to pray, not to pray about the future. Okay, that's not what he's saying. But he made a point to say daily bread. Again, this is about our fellowship with God. And here's a couple of things that God has put on my heart to say concerning this matter. Number one, God asks us to ask for our daily bread because if we can believe him for today, then we won't worry about tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen. See, the grace is in today. See, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what God's going to do for all we know. We could not, God can decide to go and bring us home tomorrow. So since we don't know the future, and God asks us when we're talking with him, when we're praying to him, ask him for what we need today. Our daily provisions. It's very important that God, that we ask him what we need for today. And why is it that he asks us, he tells us to ask for our daily bread, our provision? Because when a lot of times in our prayer is when we get before God, we forget to stay in the moment, in his presence. You know, our body is there, but our mind is somewhere else. Okay? Our body is there, but our thoughts about where up in the future, and we're not in the present. We're not in staying mind, body, and soul in the presence of the Father right now. Right now. And so what it does is that when we come to him and we stay, it helps us to stay in the moment. What he really does is when he's talking about asking about daily bread, That means we're focused on today, but it also means that it's a way of him posturing our hearts before God when we ask for things. It puts us in the right posture before God because we're here to talk with God today, and we're here to fellowship with him today, and we're focused on our being in his presence right now, right now. And so that way our minds and stuff are not veering off of many different things because sometimes we're coming in and we're worrying about many things and getting on all sorts of different things. But it's like when I'm in the presence of the Lord is focused on me right now. That's not to say that God doesn't speak about future matters, because he does. It doesn't mean that God doesn't speak things and say, you know what, I want you to start considering that this thing I'm going to do in your life. That's not what we're talking about. But when we start talking about getting through each day, because we need provisions to do that, we need things to do that, then God asks us to ask for what we need on a day-to-day basis because he wants us to depend on him every day. Because a lot of times what happens is, you know, God give us, you know, what we need for a couple of weeks. He might not see some of us for a while because we got what we need. You know, I've read many books on our saints, you know, in the late 1800s and in the early 1900s and whatnot that was on the mission field and stuff like that and led these real just powerful lives in faith. And a lot of times they talked a lot about how they had to learn to depend on God every day just for today. God didn't give them any more than they needed, but they had to learn to have faith that God will always provide for their needs. And they had to pray for what they needed for that day. They couldn't worry about tomorrow because they knew God was going to take care of tomorrow. And so it's important that, again, when we are praying for things we need, that we need to make sure we definitely are focusing on the things we need for today. And so when we do that, we don't worry about so much about things about tomorrow. Now, when we are asking for daily provisions, daily bread, okay, there are three areas, again, in our prayer life because we're not asking God the right things. We're not asking according to his will, which tends to be when we're asking the things we're asking for today that hinder us, and we're finding that our prayer life, even in our asking him, is not as effective as we want it to be. And there are three reasons why in asking for our daily provisions, our prayer life is not as effective. And so the first one, and we're just going to go ahead and deal with the elephant in the room, is worrying. That's the first one. That's the first one. You know, the Bible tells us that, you know, when we talk about faith, it's described as we hope in what we do not see as believers. That is what faith is about for us. You know, we hope on what's not unseen because you don't hope in what you already see. You know, we talked about that before. You know, if you've been praying for a new car, and you're hoping God will do it because you don't see it. It hasn't happened. But when it's in the driveway, you're not hoping for it no more because you have it. You see it. But see, God, whom is so powerful, whom is unseen to us many times, God's asking us to have faith in him and not worry about things and what I know that he is going to take care of our needs. And so the first thing that hinders us in our prayer life with God, because when we come to God, we're into talking with him, but worrying about the future. We're worrying that he may not give us what we ask for. We're worrying. Sometimes we wonder whether he can do it, whether he would admit it or not. I mean, amen. And so that we're going to talk about that later, but that's a big problem when we start fellowshipping with God, when we're struggling in our faith in God. But worrying is a big thing. And so let's talk about, you know, what God says, because, again, when we worry, what we're really doing is we get so consumed with the concerns of the future. What we do is we forget to love and embrace God's fellowship for us today. Again, remember, being in the presence of God is about being here today, being in his presence today. You know, worry about tomorrow, tomorrow. But you got God today. And so when we start worrying, we start getting off the field, we get consumed with that, then how can we focus on God if we worry? How can we focus on what he has for us today when we're too busy consumed about tomorrow? And so, again, today, you in God's presence, today. Very popular scripture Jesus tells about worrying. It's talked about, preached on many times by our men and women of God that's out there talk about worrying. And we hear this sometimes. It just seems like it doesn't become real to us until we have to walk in. And I'm just going to read it because I think some of us really need to hear it. Again, in Matthew chapter 6, again, God tells us not to worry. Jesus tells us not to worry. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. And I'm just going to read it here. And Jesus tells us, he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Very powerful scripture there. What does worrying get? What does it get? It definitely don't change nothing. It changes absolutely nothing. All it does is cause stress. We lose sleep because, again, we're dealing with a faith issue. Okay, so again, verse 27, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet, I tell you, that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown in tomorrow, thrown into the fire. Will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? See, again, we're talking about earth. This is about faith. O you of little faith. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you have need of them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has its trouble of its own.
Amen.
So Jesus said a mouthful. He said a mouthful, a lot of things we just talked about. You know, we need to remember when we are praying to God, we're focused on our time of fellowship with him today, being in his presence today. And in being in his presence, you know, a lot of it is about faith and focusing on what we need for him today and not worrying about tomorrow, because we don't know what God is going to allow to come into our life the following days and what his plan is always. We don't know that. But even if we did, God tells us not to worry about those things because we're God's children and God takes care of his children. And so we just need to remember that when we start talking about daily bread and some of the things that are hindering us when we have fellowship with God and we wonder why we're not being as effective in our prayer life. A part of it is that when we go before his presence, we still have worry in our hearts. So that's number one. So the key is be thankful and enjoy pride for the God's presence today. Number two, what is that second thing that hinders us in our prayer life, especially as it concerns daily bread? The second thing is trust and obedience in the daily bread against. Oh, praise the Lord. Now, I know I'm in somebody's household now. Trust and obedience in daily bread that he gives us today. See, when God gives us provisions for our day, you know what else comes along with that? Wisdom. Instruction. Oh, amen. Amen. Whether it's financial provisions, whether it's logistical provision, we need stuff for the car, for the kids. We have lots of decisions we have to make each day about how to get through each day. You know, going to work, picking up food from the grocery store, going to help somebody out, giving money to family members. We have all these different things that we have to make decisions about. And sometimes our daily bread is not always about money. Sometimes our daily bread is our time. You see, sometimes God says to us, look, I'm going to allot you extra time at work to come into the empty conference room or come into the bathroom for 15 minutes and just pray to me. That's a provision. That's the time I'm going to give you today. See, that's a provision. See, when God gives us daily bread, it comes with it instruction.
Amen.
For what we should do with it. Because remember, why is there instruction? everything we have belongs to God. We talked about this, you know, Dr. Hunter, a while back in one of our previous lessons, is that, yeah, sure, you know, we tithe 10% or more of our income, but don't make no mistake, everything we have belongs to God. Everything we have. And so when he gives us instructions as stewards over the things he gives us, he gives us day to bread, he gives us instructions and tells us what to do with it. But why is that? Why does God do that? When he gives us day to bread, he gives us the given wisdom for how to best use it. Because, again, the second thing that hinders us sometimes in with getting the daily bread and being effective in our prayer life, when we start praying about it again, is that we have failed in trusting God in obedience to what he told us to do with it. And, you know, one of the most powerful examples of this, if you want to know the heart of God when it comes to giving provision, one of the most powerful places in the Bible to see this on demonstration is go all the way back to the children of Israel. Go all the way back to the children of Israel, especially when God began to speak to Moses about the manna for heaven that he was getting ready to rain down on the Israelites. And it's a powerful thing. God, he exposes his intention for the daily provisions he was getting ready to give. If you turn to Exodus chapter 16, verses 4 through 5, Exodus chapter 16, verses 4 through 5. And this is the Lord speaking to Moses. And it says, then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven. Here we go, daily bread again. I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. Amen. Let's read that one more time. The Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. Now, isn't the word so wonderful? God, isn't he so glad God didn't stop? He didn't stop right there, did he? He didn't stop right there. He kept going. He said, now I'm not going to give you a commandment, but I'm going to tell you why I'm doing it this way. He goes on to say, in this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. Oh, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. And verse 5 says, on the sixth day, they have to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much to gather on this, because, as you know, on the Sabbath day, they rest. So that was the only reason he gave them instructions to gather twice as much on the Sabbath, on the day before the Sabbath. But on every course that he basically told them, just get what I'm going to provide you, your daily bread. I am going to provide you your daily bread. You ain't got to go out and work. I'm going to provide it to you. All you need to do is follow my show. Just get what you need for today. Get what you need for today. See, one of the reasons why we struggle in our relationship with God is because, again, sometimes God says, you know what, Brother Price, Minister Price, you know what I'm going to give you. Sometimes your provision is your energy. Did you know that? Your energy. Yeah. Let's talk about that for a minute. Yeah. Now, we got some folks, and I used to be one of them people, well, we got this big plan of all these millions of things we're going to do in one day, and we just said to ourselves, we got to get to it. But then we wonder why we're tired and worn out at the end of every day. Because what we don't realize is a part of our daily provisions is not just money. Sometimes it's the level of energy he gives us to do a certain amount of things during the day. So during the course of the day, God will be speaking to us saying, you know what, you don't need to do that today. You know, God will be speaking, you know what, you're home, your kids ain't here, why don't you sit down and just spend some time with me and rest? Oh, no, I got to get in here and do this, and I got to make this call. We're so busy. And what we find out is that just, again, our energy, God only gives us a certain amount to do a certain amount each day. And he's constantly telling us, giving us wisdom all day long on how we are to use the provision of energy he gave for us today so that way we won't be so worn out and weary and tired at the end of a day. But sometimes we don't listen because we got the case of, I got you. I need you. Amen. I got you. I need you. In other words, we fall in our way. And see, again, that goes back to number two, trust and obedience. Number one, we don't trust that God has given us enough for the day. Amen. So we before the Lord, and we don't even trust that what he's going to give us is enough for the day. And then because we don't trust in what he has to give us today, then we disobey the instructions that he gave us on how to use it. And then we back before the Lord the next, the following day, said, Lord, just help me. And the Lord's like, well, did you do what I asked you to do? Did you listen to my wisdom? Because, see, wisdom is not hard to find for those that want it from God. The Bible refers to wisdom as a woman crying out the street. Crying out in the street, wanting to be heard. Wisdom is plentiful from God. But sometimes, again, we're struggling with ourselves and him, and we don't understand if we just trust God, he's trying to give us rest. You know, this one thing I've learned, remember what I talk about all the time, and I tell people all the time, is that, you know what, in the course of a day, there's always a million things to do. There's always something to be do. I got a wife and four kids here at the house, and every time I turn around, there's something to be done. Never get it all done, seems to be get done. But here's one thing I know. When you start trusting God for your daily schedule, when you start trusting in that way, you're going to find that, yeah, everything might not get done, but you would have done what God has given you provision for that day. Amen. You have done what God has given you provision for that day. And you're going to find yourself as weary and as worn out. It's the same thing with financial provision. It's the same thing with financial provision. God gives us enough financial provision for one day and tell us, you know, you don't need to get that today. You know, maybe you died so. Well, look, you know, do you really need the new iPhone? What's wrong with the iPhone you got? And then you know what happens? We go down there and we spend $400 for this new iPhone that we didn't need. That we didn't need. We didn't take the provisions and deal them with something else. And then what happens is because we thought we had extra. And then a week later, a bill hits. That's exactly $400 more. And then we're going crying, oh, Lord. Oh, if you could just bless me and help me. And the Lord said, well, I gave you that money for that. But you didn't trust me. And I told you, because, you know, we sit in the conference, man, something told me not to go by that. But that something is the Holy Spirit telling us not to go get it. Because God may not explain why you don't need to get it. But when you're in God's hand, there's a good reason why he tells us to stop. Sit down. Don't get that right now. Rest. Be in my presence. Live for today. And so the second thing is sometimes the reason why we're not so effective in our prayer life, we get frustrated because of the fact we don't trust him when we should. And that trust, distrust in God at times, whether we admit it or not, leads to disobedience in how we handle our measure of daily provision God gives for us today. Okay? Amen.
Amen.
Faith.
Amen.
Faith. Amen. Let's close the door with the most, almost most powerful one, faith. So that's what we're talking about, faith.
That's it.
Jesus tells us to ask for daily bread so that God can test the quality of our faith for our future. What did we say earlier? See, when we start trusting, see, the reason why God tells us to ask for daily bread isn't so much that he's not going to provide for the future, but if he can just get us to focus on believing him for today, then we won't worry about tomorrow. Then we won't worry about tomorrow because we focus on being with him today. Remember, our fellowship with the Lord, our prayer life with the Lord is still about him. It's not about us. And when we make it about him, then he abides with us. He comes to make a home with us. He comes, Jesus comes to be with us and us with him. You see what I'm saying? And so this is about faith. And Jesus tells us again, when we ask for daily bread, we ask for daily bread so that God can also test the quality of our faith for him in the future. Do we trust him for tomorrow? In other words, we say we have faith in him, but is our faith real? Is our faith genuine? See, God will put that to the test. And don't get me wrong, God is not putting it to a test to make us look like a fool, but sometimes he has to show us that we have some issues in faith in a certain area of our life. As we grow in faith, God's going to continue to grow us in the faith, and he'll show us, well, you know, you're struggling a little bit, now ask me to increase your faith. And how is faith tested? It is tested through the fire. See, sometimes we go through a season sometimes, and that's what we've been there. In my own household just last fall, we go through seasons of lack. Not that God can't do it, but God just wants to see where our measure of faith, the quality of our faith really is. Apostle Peter puts it best. He says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 through 7, he says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief of all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Jesus Christ is revealed. You see, our relationship with God, our fellowship with Him, our prayer life with Him, there's an end result to that that God wants. And what it is a testimony of how good He is. A testimony of how good He is. And so God proves our faith. He wants to see and show us it so that way He can strengthen their faith. Because when we start trusting Him for daily provision, this is a part of our prayer life, along with in His gates with thanksgiving and praise, it's about a testimony. It's about glorifying Him. That was what the result of faith is all about. And it's okay if we find ourselves struggling in faith. Then we need to be like the father who had struggled with faith about the healing of his son and say, Lord, I do believe, but help me with my unbelief. Help me, because faith is essential to a relationship with God. Because, see, when we don't have faith, when we don't believe Him for what He said He is and what He's going to do, we got a big problem. The Hebrew writers put it best in Hebrews 11 and 6, and it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him.
Amen.
Daily prayer is about it's a part of our effectiveness in prayer. It has a lot to do with our trust, obedience, and faith in God. God tells us to give us our daily bread. When we learn how to have faith in what God provisions for today, we don't worry about tomorrow. And remember, our fellowship of God with God is about Him. He wants us to focus on delighting ourselves with Him through a relationship. And when we focus on Him, we don't have to worry about our needs. Our faith will increase. And because of our faith increasing, we are able to obey Him. Closing scripture. Psalm 37, verse 4 through 5 says, thou delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Big word coming next. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. May the glory be to Jesus Christ and God forever and ever. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Anybody
Amen.
Got any questions?
Amen. Go ahead. Praise the Lord. I am so glad that is it Jason?
Yes,
I am
yes,
so
ma'am.
Glad that. Amen. I am so glad that you expanded on this prayer, because so many people don't do it. I learned this prayer when my parents taught it to me when I was a young girl. I thank God for it. And I still say it today because it works. I mean, and like you said, when we ask God, give us our daily bread, we got more than enough. More than enough. When we say this prayer, we got everything we need for today. Our
Amen.
Daily bread. And it's more than enough. It's sufficient for today. And that's all we need, because we don't need to worry about tomorrow. The Bible said tomorrow will take care of itself. So all we need is our daily bread. And like I said, I'm really glad you expanded on that, because it's so important. And I don't hear a lot of people say this prayer too often, but I know I use it all the time, because I know it works, and I believe. Amen?
Amen. 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 Well, Well, praise the Lord. We want to thank Jason for speaking to our hearts tonight. And remember, he's doing a series. And if you miss him, you're going to have to go and listen up because it's on. We got on the radio. You go up to the archives and you can download it and listen. So
amen.
I thank God for him.
Amen.
Does anybody else have any state question? Well, we got Dr. Newsom coming on now. Dr. Newsom.
Yes, sir.
All right. Praise the Lord. How you been?
I'm doing great. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, Dr. Hutton.
Amen. Amen. Well, the time belongs to you to tell us what the Lord has brought to you to bring to us.
We're glory to God. I'm ready to shoot out of this stall. I'm ready. Glory
amen.
To God. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank God for another day. God is good. Well, if you would, please turn your Bible to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 23. The scripture says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my saying. You see, I tell you, God's word is powerful. It is powerful. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. So God says, keep my words in the midst of your heart. Now, he's not talking about that muscle that pumps blood through your body. No, he's talking about the heart. The heart. He's talking about your mind, your emotions, your will, your intellect. He's talking about that inner man, the inner
yeah.
man. When he's talking about the heart, he's talking about the inner man. And he's saying, keep my word in your heart. Now, why should we keep his word in our heart? For they are life unto those that find them, and help to all their flesh. So when we keep God's word, there is a word, there are words of healing, there are words of divine health, there are words in the scripture, and God says that when we get them into our heart, on the inside, in our inner man, look what he says. He says, health, there will be health in your body, to all your flesh. Health will spring forth in your body when you have his word in your heart. Your heart. He's talking about your inner man. He's talking about your mind. He's talking about your emotions. That's your heart. That's what he's talking about. His words in your heart, and they will bring health to all your flesh.
Amen.
Verse 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence. That word keep right there in the Hebrew, it means to maintain. It means to guard. It means to protect. So when we get God's words in our heart, we got to protect. Protect them from what? From the enemy. Satan comes nothing but to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal the word of God. He don't want the word of God in your heart because Satan knows this scripture also. Satan knows that if you keep the word of God in your heart, he knows that you'll walk in divine health. He knows that you'll have peace and prosperity. So Satan comes immediately, the scripture says in the New Testament, immediately when the word goes forth, Satan comes to try to steal it. He comes to try to steal that word away from you. So the scripture here in 23 says that we must maintain, we must guard, we must protect the word, thy heart with all diligence. for out of it are the issues of life.
Right.
You see, what that scripture is saying, that everything that happens on the outside of us comes from on the inside of us. It's from the inside out. We have everything that we need in pertaining to life and godliness on the inside of us. And it flows to the outside and manifests. It appears in our life. It comes to pass. It comes to pass in our life. The issues of life flow from our heart. In other words, everything that we have or we are in life, it comes from within the inside of us. I'm going somewhere here. The message God has given me is, with his stripes, you are healed. With his stripes, you are healed. Well, how are we healed? Well, I just showed you in the scripture in Proverbs chapter 4. The word of God in our bodies, in our spirit, man, in our heart, it heals our body. It heals our body. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 53. I tell you, I'm glad God gave me this message, because after eternal life, the most important thing to me, I don't know about anyone else, is my health.
I'm with you.
I tell you, I believe me myself, man, to have divine health, I'd get rid of everything that I have. Because, you see, I'm not ready to die right now. I'm not ready to die, and I'm surely not ready to die. When I saw in Genesis 6:3, I can live to be 120 years old. I'm not ready to die right now. It's not that I'm scared of death, but I like life. I like living. So I'm not ready to die right now. So, you know, one of the most important messages that you can get after you get eternal life is the message on health. How to stay alive on this earth in your body so that
Amen.
You can be used by God. With his stripes, you are healed. Look at Isaiah 53. One of my favorite scriptures is Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, verse 5, the scripture says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Not going to be healed. God gave me a revelation of that, because every time I got sick, I was saying, "God, heal my body, Lord. Heal my body." And then one day, I tell you, this scripture just exploded in me. It exploded in me, and God let me know, "Son, you don't have to keep asking me to heal you, because I just told you that with my stripes, you're already healed." I said, "Glory to God, glory to God." I told my wife, I told everybody, that my Christian brothers and other pastors, I said, "You know what, I'm already healed. I am already healed." God told me that you don't have to pray no more, son, and ask me to heal you. You see, I told you that with my stripes, you are healed. I'm already healed. So he said, if you're going to do any type of prayer, you do the prayer of praise and thanksgiving. You thank me for already healing you. Give me praise for already healing you. And so God told me to teach this message and share this message. And I tell you, light bulbs just came on in my church family. Everyone I began to talk to, they said, "That's right, that is what that scripture is saying." Yeah, when Jesus went to the cross, with his stripes, we are already healed. We're healed.
Amen.
With his stripes, those who are listening all around the world, God told me to tell you, with his stripes, you are healed. It's just like if I were to give a Dr. Hunter $100 bill. I put $100 bill in his hand.
Yes.
Man, people would look at him crazy. I would look at him crazy. If I would already put $100 bill in his hand, then he would look at me, Dr. Newsom, give me $100 bill. And I look at him, "Man, doctor, I've already given you a $100 bill. What are you asking for a $100 bill? I've already given you a $100 bill. You see, it doesn't make sense to ask someone for something when they've already given it to you. It's just like eternal life. I don't have to ask God for Yahweh for eternal life anymore. Father, give me eternal life. Give me eternal life, Father. Why should I ask him for something that I've already gotten? I've already asked him for eternal life once. I'm saved. I have eternal life. Give me a home, Lord. Give me a home. Son, you live in a home. I've already given you a home.
Yes.
So we don't have to ask God to heal us. He's already told you that with his stripes, you are healed. And so that's what the Lord wanted me to tell those who are listening, that with his stripes, you are healed. And I don't know about you. I don't know about you. I'm excited, and you ought to be excited. You ought to be excited about that. You ought to be grateful to God. You ought to be giving him praise and glory right now. You ought to be dancing and walking around in your house and shouting and clapping your hands or doing something. Because I tell you this, I tell you, I've lived this scripture. 2 years ago, Dr. Hunter know about it. 2 years ago, my heart rate went up to 288 beats per minute, and it stayed like that for a little bit over an hour. The doctor said that was a miracle. They said that was a miracle. It was like over an hour before I got to the hospital. They said it was a miracle that took place. They said you could have had a heart attack. They said you could have died. They said you could have had a stroke. And I'm here to tell you none of that happened. And I want to tell you right now in the intensive care room, I'll tell you what I was saying. With his stripes, I am healed.
I'm healed.
With Yeshua's stripes, I am healed. I tell you, I got that scripture memorized. It's in my heart. I believe it. I can taste that scripture in me. I believe. I know that with Yeshua's stripes, I am healed. So what kind of prayer do I offer up to Yahweh? I say, Lord, I thank you that with your stripes I am healed. I don't ask him to heal me. Why should I ask him for something that he's already given to me? So I say, Yahweh, with your stripes I am healed. And I tell you, I'm running miles a week. I tell you, I'm doing push-ups and sit-ups and chasing and playing with my children. I tell you, I'm going on hikes. The doctor told me that my heart is stronger than an ox. Why did all this take place? I tell you why all this took place. Because with his stripes, I got a revelation. With his stripes, I am healed. Don't worry about it. So what? You feel a pain here and there. What do you believe more, what your body's saying or what the Word of God say? Do you believe what your body is saying over what the Word of God says? The Word of God is above any and everything. For we don't walk by sight, by what we feel, taste, smell, hear, or see. No, we walk by what the Word of God says. I'm not moved by what I see or feel. I'm only moved by what I believe, and that's the Word of God. With his stripes, child of God, God told me to tell you, you are healed. You see, the devil can't talk you out of anything when you know the Word for yourself. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, the devil can't talk you out of something that you know for yourself. The scripture clearly says that we are healed. I don't care what the doctor bless their heart. There's some good doctors out there and everything, but you know what? They don't know everything.
No.
They don't know everything. And bless their heart, there are some ministers. There are some ministers still going around. You know, some ministers are saying that healing is not for the day.
That's right.
But that's what Yeshua came to do. He came to heal all those who were oppressed and afflicted by the devil. He came for that. He Yeshua died on the cross so that we may be healed. Now, that scripture says he was wounded for our transgressions. That word wounded in the Hebrew is halal. Halal.
Halal.
That's the Hebrew word for wounded. Halal. And what that means, they profaned Yeshua. They were irreverent toward him with their words. They showed him no respect. They profaned him. So that word wounded in Hebrew is halal, and it means that they profaned Yeshua. They talked about him. They called him everything but God on the cross.
Yes.
They didn't consider him as being sacred. They were irreverent. They were blasphemous. They were mocking him as they were beating him on the cross.
As they were
tearing him. I tell you, the scripture tells us that he was unrecognizable. He appeared to be like a piece of meat hanging on the cross. You couldn't tell who he was because they beat him so bad. But not only did they beat him so bad, they profaned him. They mocked him as they beat him. They were irreverent toward him.
Yes.
That's what they did. And why did he do all this? Look, it says, but he was wounded for our transgression. For our sins, he was profaned. He was talked about. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was beaten black and blue. He was bruised for our iniquity. For our wickedness. The scripture goes on to say, the chastisement of our peace was upon him.
Amen.
The chastisement. That word chastisement means that he was severely punished. He was severely beaten. Why?
Ooh.
The chastisement of our peace was upon him. He was severely beaten so that we could have peace of mind. That Hebrew word is shalom. Shalom, the chastisement of our peace, of our shalom, he got severely beaten so that we could have shalom. Shalom not only means peace of mind, but it means prosperity.
Yes.
Prosperity and peace of mind. Good God Almighty. Yeshua, our Lord, our Savior.
Yes.
The everlasting Father. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob became a man. Yeshua. He was wounded. He was profaned for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was severely beaten so that we could have peace of mind and prosperity.
Yes.
It goes on to say, and with his stripes, we are healed. That word healed in Hebrew is Rapha. Rapha.
Rapha.
And that word Rapha means to mend by stitching. It means to mend by stitching. And some people say, oh, that doesn't mean that our bodies were healed. He's talking about spiritually speaking. Who ever heard of a spirit being stitched? Woo! Whoever heard of a spirit being stitched up? No, you stitch up a body. And that Hebrew word healed means to mend by stitching. You don't stitch a spirit. You stitch a body. Rapha. Healed means to mend by stitching. You heard him say it, Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha, because there's no J sound in the Hebrew, so it should be Jehovah Rapha. There's no J sound in the Hebrew alphabet. There's no J sound. So it means to mend by stitching. It means to cure. It means to heal. It means to thoroughly make whole. That's what the word heal, Rapha, means in Hebrew, Rapha. So with his stripes, you are stitched up. You are cured. You are healed. You are, good God Almighty, I'm about to run through this house. You are thoroughly you are thoroughly made whole.
Yes.
With his stripes.
Right.
God told me to tell you, everyone who's under the sound of my voice, he told me to tell you, Yahweh told me to tell you that with his stripes,
hey,
you are healed. You're not going to be healed. You are healed. You're not going to go to hell for saying, oh, God, please heal me, please heal me. But when you know better, you ought to do better. He's told you that you are healed. So you need to realize you don't have to ask him to be healed anymore if you are already healed. For you to be asking him to heal you when he's already told you in your word that you're already healed, you must not believe him. You must not believe him. Some people think they're so smart, they're just really ridiculous. Some people think they're so smart. But I'm so grateful for God. He'll give you revelation if you're not all high-minded and puffed up like a frog. See, he takes the foolish things of the world, like me and you, Dr. Hunter, and others, to confound the wise. Some people think that they know so much that they don't know nothing. It's right here in our eyes. No one can argue with it, but I tell you, people have tried to argue with me. They'll try to argue with the truth. But it's right here. Already has healed us. So once we know that, we ought to be saying, Father, thank you. Thank you for that with your stripes, I am healed. Thank you. Body, you got it lined up. You got to line up, body, because I'm already healed. I'm not worried about no aches and pains. I know what the word says. With his stripes, I am healed. You'll die if you're looking to be healed. You'll die. Some people will die looking to be healed. You die because you're looking to be healed. You got to believe and know that you're already healed.
Yes. Yes.
With his stripes, you are healed. He's healed you of all your diseases. Psalm 103. He's already healed you of all human diseases. All human diseases, as far as concerning you, have all been healed. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 3 says, blessed the Lord, O my soul, and all that was within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who what?
Healeth all thy diseases.
All human diseases are healed for you, child of God. Just recognize that with his Christ, you are healed. Yahweh don't have any problem when it comes to that. It's not too hard for him. It's already done. All our sins are already taken care of. They're forgiven, past, present, and future.
Yes.
They're taken care of. So you don't have to be concerned or worried about, is my sins blocking me from being healed? That was taken care of on the cross also. Your sins are forgiven. So if your sins are forgiven, they can't be blocking you from being healed.
Thank you.
How can sin be blocking you from being healed when Yahweh don't even remember any sin in your life anymore?
Once
you have confessed him as Lord and believe in your heart that Yahweh has raised Yeshua from the dead, you're saved. Your sins are forgiven and forgotten. They are forgiven, past, present, and future. So you don't have to be concerned about, worry about, is this sickness on me because of something I've done? Sickness on me because of some sin I've done? Your sins are forgiven and forgotten. So how can a sickness be on you because of some sin that you've done? All of your sins are forgiven and forgotten. He remembers them no more.
My God.
With his stripes, you are healed. Every born-again believer, with his stripes, you are healed. You don't have to ask him to heal you. Isaiah 53, verse 5, he's telling you that he's already healed you. Of all human diseases known to man, you are healed of them. And there is no sin blocking you from being healed of all of the diseases known to human man, because your sins are forgiven also. He took care of everything on the cross. And so he just wanted me to tell you that you are healed.
Healed.
No food can make you sick. You can read in the scripture that God even healed food because the people served him in Exodus 23:24-25. When you're serving the Lord, your food can't make you sick. Your food is good.
Good.
Matter of fact, Exodus 23:24-25 also says that he heals your water. He heals your water. Water heals. Jeremiah 33:6. He heals your mind and prospers you, gives you peace, gives you shalom. Matter of fact, the scripture lets us know in Jeremiah 30:17-20, Yahweh is even able to heal whole nations at a time. Whole nations. I stick with Isaiah 53:5. With his stripes, I am healed. I don't have any sickness. I don't have any disease. You don't have any sickness. You don't have any disease. Someone has to be lying. If they say you're sick, the doctor says you're sick, and God says that, Yahweh says that with his stripes you are healed, who are you going to believe?
Amen.
Whose report are you going to believe?
Mm.
I'd rather call a doctor a liar than to call Almighty Yahweh a liar.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Who are you going to believe? You're going to believe a pastor, a preacher that don't know any better? You're going to believe what they said over the word of God? Isaiah 53:5 already tells you that with his stripes you are healed.
Healed.
Are you going to believe the pastor that, or the teacher that's being foolish and that's out of line and don't know what they're talking about? Or are you going to believe what's clear in the word of God?
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Glory to God. That's what the Lord wanted me to share with you. With his stripes, you are healed.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My. What a message tonight.
Amen.
Yes. The line is open. Anybody got a question? The line's open. Oh, Jesus.
Yes.
The lines are open.
Amen. Praise the Lord, Apostle Newsom. That is a great message, and I tell you what, you said it all. I'm just listening here, and like you say, by his stripes we are healed. We have to believe that. And when we speak those words, things will come to life. We can believe what God's word says is true. It is true. You have really taught us tonight, and I really do appreciate it. I thank God for that. And if the people that are listening tonight believe what you have taught us, hey, they can live to be healed. Be healed. Amen.
Glory.
Amen. Well, I know this much. I want to thank God once again for all he's done for me. Because if I was standing up a scripture, Isaiah 53, I'd be in big time trouble because I am healed. And
amen.
I am and the Bible says, I am healed.
Yes.
I will live and not die. I declare I shall live and not die because I know what God is doing for me, through me, and about me. And I'm so excited.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
And I was sharing people about what God has done down there in Hempstead. And people said, why don't you do it in Houston? It's already done in Houston.
It's already done.
But people like the Apostle Newsom said, a lot of people going to trust more what the doctors say and the preacher and the person, but won't hear what God's word is saying.
Yes. That's right. That's
right. Well, God said, I'll make you rich and not poor.
Come on now. Come on. That's what he said.
That's what he
said. That's what he said.
That's what he said. So I'll make you the head and not the tail. Some people don't want, some people, well, I know this much. Some people want to do what they want to do.
That's it.
That's right.
That's it. And Dr. Hunter, it's so sad, Dr. Hunter. It's so sad that there are ministers in the body of Christ. There are ministers in the body of Christ. They're causing people to die before their time, before their fullness of days, with all that with all the foolishness and false doctrine. They don't want to learn. Some of them are learning the truth, and they don't want to admit to the truth. They won't even go back and clean it up. They'd rather argue with someone that's sharing the truth. That's why the scripture says, study to show thyself approved unto God, workman who needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If there is a right way to teach the word of truth, to rightly divide the truth, if he tells us to do that, then there must be a wrong way to divide the truth. And you got a lot of folks, they're not studying. Some of them are just went, and they're not called. They don't spend any time with God. The word right there in your face. I've had people try to talk me out of healing. But yet God healed me through this scripture.
Amen.
I've heard people say, oh, that's talking about spiritually, brother. Spiritually, brother, speaking. That's spiritually speaking. He's not talking about your body. And then I got to study in the Hebrew language and come to find out healed means to stitch, to mend, to stitch up. You don't.
Yes.
How can you stitch a spirit?
Amen.
So
amen.
We've got to, Dr. Hunter, would you like to say, we've got to get the word for ourselves.
That's it. Because everybody, and nowadays we're living in, I'm noticing everything. See, when you keep your eye on what God is doing, because the generation that's 25 and up, they're using the signboard. They want to get on a signboard and talk. It's good. But they want to put everything in, but they'll put about 4 or 5 scriptures in the word. This is what the Lord say. No problem. It's good to have eye gate, ear gate, mouth gate. But if a person is not, if he's not ready to receive the fullness of the Holy Spirit in their life.
Yes.
I asked a question of a person one day. There's only one man I know of in the Bible that was born and never married. First talked about him, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Oh, man, you know, man. There ain't no man living like that. So go to the Bible and see what God did for John. You talking about John? I said, I ain't talking about John. The Bible says it. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb.
Yes.
But why is it, how was David's man going to do what he did, go give his, ooh, Jesus, hallelujah, I get excited also. I get excited. Because when he, Jesus. But Dr. Newsom?
Yes, sir.
Now that I have you and Dr. Deloach and the prophet is on, she's on, but it's on mute, she's at work. But I want to tell you something. What God is doing, has done, now doing, because a year ago, nobody believed that I would be where I am, because everyone said, Well, they come telling my wife, well, you know, he got an affliction. I told my wife, stop listening to those liars because I don't have an affliction.
No, no, you're healed, brother.
I don't have an affliction? No.
No. No.
And I told a person, I said, you busy tonight, though? I said, call this number tonight. So I put him on the radio just to prove to them. I said, you on the international the radio worldwide. She went click. And she... See, you have to prove God's word to people. You don't have to
prove it.
You got to prove it. Yes, you got to prove it once they see
you
it.
You got to prove it. Dr. Hunter, they fight. I don't know, but it's just, I don't know why they do it. Who's my sister on the phone?
Dr. McLennan.
What does Isaiah 53:5 say? What's that last portion? What does it say?
It said the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Are means right.
It,
we are.
Are.
Not gonna be.
But teach it, brother.
Not gonna be, but we are.
We are.
Not waiting for a manifestation.
Amen.
We are.
We are.
Amen.
We are. And that's what God wants us to get used to doing. He wants us to get used to saying what he say.
Amen.
That's what it means to confess. Hold fast the profession of your faith or confession. They both mean the same. Without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. But he wants us to begin to confess, to say what he say, to speak in agreement with his word, no matter who says something differently. I tell you, the majority, see, that they think that the majority is not always right.
Amen.
The majority is not always right. A lot of time, the majority is wrong. Oh, the majority say healing is not for today. Oh, the majority say blah, 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 blah. You follow the majority, you're going to die at a young age. You're going to be up out of here. We can't just go along with people because it's the majority. Look, Moses sent out 12 spies to spy out the promised land. The majority, 10 of them came back, which is the majority, and they said, we can't take the land. There's giants over the land. We're like grasshoppers. See, the majority was wrong, but Caleb and Joshua, what did they say? They said, we can take the land. We can take the land.
Amen.
See, they didn't follow the majority. The majority is not always right. Isn't that right, doctor?
That's right.
That is so true. I mean, you know, it's according to your faith. And a lot of people don't have that kind of faith to believe. And just like I was telling them, when they told us, and like you said, the doctors are not always right. Because they were trying to tell us that our mother's kidneys was bad. And when they called me, they said mother's kidneys are not good. They said, well, because my family always get together, we pray, and we praise God, we give God the praise. So they know the devil is a liar when it comes to stuff like that. So they began to say, hey, the devil is a liar. I don't care what the doctor say. So I'm on my way. When I got there, I said, before I got there, I told God, I said, I'm ready for the doctor. So when I got there, I was ready for him. Because when he came to tell me that my mother's kidneys wasn't good, I said, no, they're good in Jesus' name. They're good. He said, they're good in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
And so when he come back, he told me, well, they are good. I already told you.
You already told him.
You know, so that's my faith. Well, you're not going to tell me what God has already told me, that by his stripes we are healed.
Come on now.
I don't need to listen to what he's talking about. I need to tell him what my God say. I need him to know that by his stripes, she's healed.
That's right.
So then he had to come back and tell me they are good. I know this.
That's right.
It's according to our faith, and we have to believe that. God's word has come alive. He says, speak my words. I watch over them to perform them.
Come on now.
So we have to speak God's word. And when we speak God's word, they come alive.
Come on now. Good God.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Well, I'll tell somebody this statement. I said, let me clarify and define.
Hallelujah.
There are two dogs. You never seen two dogs. Two dogs. Male dogs. One trying to go to another male dog. But you haven't found a male female dog trying to go to female dog. But see, man has lost their sensitivity about the reality of God. And they do what they do. And God, that's why he says he releases and he turns them over to a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind. And I know this was saying to somebody I'm a muffy. And one thing you have to find out, and come to know this, when it comes down to God, and I said, you don't have to love me for what I just told you, and you sure don't have to hate me because I love you. Two dogs that are male are not trying to get together with each other. They're looking for a female.
Yeah.
Are you letting it sink? Because we got today men with men. And I read the Bible all night, and they said, when they asked him a question about, they said, well, okay, he says, Jesus, when the man died, the husband died, the husband died, the husband died, the husband died. And they said, well, who's going to be their wife? Jesus looked at them and said, wait a minute, you got it wrong. You don't have the wisdom of the word. For in heaven there shall be no marriage. But they got to tell them, so how is that possible? When we ain't going to be married? No. He said, because he said, God did that for male versus female, male and male, a male and a female. It was by God's design. And you can give the solid word to disqualify anybody. But I will say to you on the radio tonight, there is much work to be done. There is no plan. I ain't got time for playing. I ain't got time for jumping up and down. I'm about my Father's business.
Amen.
Because what God has done for this man, I'm about God's business. And the devil is alive. And he knows.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Tracy, you got a word you want to say to us, Tracy?
Yes, I'm here. I'm sorry.
I see you got a word you want to say to us.
I'm enjoying everything that I'm hearing right now.
Amen. But I tell you, we've got a great teacher on tonight. When he talks about the Hebrew. The more we can learn. See, I always say this, I told somebody, when you get jealous because you can't speak something, go find out why you're doing it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo! My God. Bye. Here. Strike. I am, heal. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
I may not act like it, but according to the word of God, I, Willie Hunter, am healed.
You are healed.
I'm healed.
We
and
are,
you
healed.
Are healed. And like I read in the Bible, when God said, he said, take the word, Joshua, take the word. Willie Hunter, take the word. Apostle, take the word. Dr. DeLore, Tracy, take the word. Prophetess, take the word. and do what? And meditate. Let's sink down deep into your being. Thank you for missing that tonight, Apostle. But the more you know, the more you know about God's word, to meditate, to mutter.
Yes.
To mutter.
Yes.
To bring it back up.
Yes.
Chew it. Mutter it.
Yes.
And the word of God said.
That's it.
Word of God said. I shall. That's what the word said. I shall be the head, not the tail. I shall be the head. I am the head, not the tail. When I'm in my field, I'm blessed. When I'm going from my field, I'm blessed. When I walk through my house, I'm blessed. And when I walk on my job, I'm blessed. Wherever I go, so I just say I'm a blessed man.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
See, and the thing that I'm learning to pull away from a lot of political things, not these as I used to be, but God has given me, all I can say what God showed me after the prayer we had for that lady down there in Hempstead. God put me in another level. I'm okay, but I know what God's the best is yet to come.
Amen. Amen.
I made a promise today, and I told that man about what God had done through prayer and believing. And for 15 minutes, the man started praying in tongues. People want to hear what God does. See, Dr. Nusa, you got some big words. See, sometimes I don't want to think I'm cutting him off, but man, you get the flowing and roaring and every best in your way getting a slap in, bam.
Glory to God.
Bam.
Glory to God.
Bam. And when Dr. Luch is on there on the Friday night, man, look at the well, a lot of them on the well, man, look at it. They be so in tune with the word they be talking about. Y'all need to call and give some of this here. We ain't gonna hurt you. We want you to know you can have one here, Arthur. That's what the Father wants from us. The Father is looking for his sons right now. And like I told somebody, after with a Putin came from Russia, God's going to thump his head. He don't know it. He's going to, you know why? I'm getting up on the radio. You know why he's going to thump his head?
Because
we got a lot of Jews over there in Ukraine. And those Jews are praying. And God's not going to allow that. No, he's not going to allow it to happen. He's not going to allow it to happen. And there are people that don't understand that. And I just say this with love and kindness. Wow, good God Almighty. Well, look here. Anybody got a statement or what? Anybody else? Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Go ahead. Anybody else? Father, we come before you tonight. And we thank you. We come before you tonight and we thank you. We praise you. We love you. We adore you. We magnify your name.
Yes.
Yahweh, we thank you once again.
Thank you.
Because you sent you sent Jesus Christ. You sent your only begotten Son.
Yes.
For us. Who was no good. Rotten. But now we have a new life. A new understanding. We thank you for the Torah. We will not sell it. Because you're the best we ever had.
Yes.
Father, every desire we have is your desire.
Yeah.
Teach us how to humble ourselves and humble ourselves before you. Want to thank you for every teacher that's on the radio. Thank you for every benefactor that's there. And we believe, Father, the more we put your word inside us, the more you're going to speak it out. And you see it in Psalm 89, 91, verse 11 and 12, that no evil shall come near our dwelling place.
Yes.
It won't come because you've given your angels charge to watch over us. Because angels watch over our and what God has blessed us to keep. And Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for everything you've done for us. I don't know how, but for me, Father, all I can say is I love you for what you've done for me, through me, and by me. Father, when it looked like I wasn't there, you were there for me. When I didn't have a friend, you was there to be a friend. When I was lonesome, you was there to tell me, lean on me. When my head, my heart, all hurt, you was there to tell me I'm here. And Father, it's now one statement. I love Yeshua.
Yes.
Thank you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Yeshua, Abashir, we love you. Hallelujah.
Yes.
All the desires, all the inputs of you, because by you and through you, and because you said your word, they that wait upon me shall renew their strength. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And we renew our strength. For we should get up, we should rise up. We should start walking. Hallelujah. And then
hallelujah.
Your name, Father.
Thank you.
I
thank you for all that you've given us and that best to come. Father, thank you for everything. Thank you, Father, for KASK Radio. Keep us
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. When things look dark, it's light. When it's raining, there's water flowing. When everything is coming across America, we pray for those that understand what they see. But what we see, and see what we know, because we know God is sure. God will answer the word. Father, thank you for most of all.
Thank you.
Thank you for letting Enoch walk and still walking. Thank you for Elijah.
Thank you
for all of the Old Testament. And you said that we can believe the words of the prophet and the teachers. You said it, Father. We shall live and not die.
Yes. Hallelujah.
And your word of the prophet lifts of divinity from you, Father. And then, Father, because when they stood there, when John and James stood and they heard the voice of the Father, this is my beloved son that I'm well pleased. And Father, because you're well pleased, we're well blessed pleased to love your son, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And then Father, we want to pray for everyone who's in a position of not knowing. We pray that they will come to you closer. We pray for this generation and the generation, next generation. We know that you're still God, and we love you. Thank you for all of my grandsons. Thank you for my in-laws, bylaws, and other laws. Thank you, Father. Well, I love you, I adore you, and I give you the praise. It is through his name, Jesus. Yeshua. I said thank you. Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
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 So, until the next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. Remember, I love you. I love you. I love you. And ain't nothing you can do about it.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you.
I love you.
Amen. God bless you. I love you.
Love you.
I love you. Good night.
Good night.
And that's it.